So good morning, church. Ignore my voice, it will pick up. I've been battling a very bad sore throat. But I've told my body, we are going to do kingdom business. You must align to what God wants to do this morning. So sweet Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our midst. I ask Holy Spirit that you take full control of this morning. Meet every one of us where we are and bless us tremendously in Jesus' name. So I want you to go to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, today is going to be a great day. God is so good. I really love that worship song and powerful because it's all about Jesus. I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus. Okay, please get the mic. It's all about Jesus. And this morning, the Lord has given me a word to share. And I've titled it, The Power of Hunger. Have you ever been hungry? Like seriously? I remember when I gave birth to my first child, TJ. He's 21, going on 22 now. He was a very hungry baby. And a delight to feed. Because when the girls came along, they were pickers. TJ was a delight to feed. When you are feeding him, he grabs your hand and puts the spoon in his mouth. It makes you happy, you want to feed him. God is looking for hungry people. God is looking for hungry people. How hungry are you for the things of God? God wants to do something amazing in these last days. God is looking for young men. God is looking for middle-aged men. God is looking for old men. He's looking for young women, middle-aged women, and also the old women. God wants to do something amazing. But how hungry are we for what God is about to do? We are the ones holding God's hands from doing the mighty things he wants to do. Because God cannot walk with people who are full of the things of this world. God is looking for a man or a woman who is hungry. Today I want us to look at a very interesting character in the book of Luke 19. You must know him. He's a very familiar man. We all know his story. His name is Zacchaeus. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, a superintendent to whom others reported, and he was very rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but he could not see because of the crowd. For he was short in stature. So he ran on ahead of the crowd and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus reached the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and welcome Jesus with joy. I love the TPT translation in this verse 6. It says, so Zacchaeus scurried down and came face to face with Jesus. When the people saw him, they all began muttering in discontent. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a notorious sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, see, Lord, I am now giving half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will give back four times as much. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this household, because he too is a spiritual son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Zacchaeus was a notorious tax collector. In those days, men like Zacchaeus will not just take the regular taxes imposed on the people. They up the prices. So, nobody liked him. He was the most hated man in town. And one day, Zacchaeus heard Jesus of Nazareth was going through Jericho. And Zacchaeus joined the crowd to see who this Jesus is. He had heard about him, but he had never seen him. But the Bible tells us Zacchaeus was a very short man. He narrowly escaped dwarfism. And with a massive crowd coming with Jesus, whenever Jesus was in town, it was an entourage. Zacchaeus was in the crowd. He could not make his way to see Jesus. He pushed and he showed there was no way. And this man said, "I must see him." Zacchaeus ran and saw a sycamore tree. The sycamore tree, if you want to know what it looks like, is a very difficult tree to climb up. The branches are so wide. You have to navigate your way from the bottom to the top. And this man, in his desperation and hunger to see who this Jesus is, Zacchaeus climbed the tree and he went to the top. With all the thick branches, no one would have been able to figure out there was a man up there. Zacchaeus was up the tree, he was looking down, and he saw Jesus. Zacchaeus came to a place of close proximity to catch a glimpse of who Jesus truly is. The people in the crowd, familiarity with Jesus could not make them know the personality walking in their midst. Hunger to know who this Jesus is caused Zacchaeus to move away from the crowd. I'm telling you, if you want to see what eyes have not seen and to hear what ears have not heard, it's time to step away from the crowd. And just like John in the book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, it's time to hear what God is saying. The Lord is calling, "Come up higher. For I want to show you what eyes have not seen." I want us to look at the book of Revelation. We will be back to Zacchaeus. Revelation chapter 4, from verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a war trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.'" And if you read it further, you will see John came into contact with the throne of God. He saw the one who sat on the throne. And John described the beauty of the throne of God. God wants us to see what he is doing in these last days. And we cannot see when we mingle with the crowd. We have to come away to the place that is higher. That is where God speaks from. The Bible tells us in verse 6 that Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was. I'm telling you, hunger has a smell in the realm of the spirit. There's a perfume that flows when you are hungry for God. Even the whole of heaven smells it. Hunger has a sound. It's a resounding sound that shakes heaven when a man or a woman is hungry for God. I mean genuine hunger. When you become so desperate that God is all you need, God is all you want, nothing else, God turns to look at that man and or that woman, hungry for him. When Jesus got to that spot, how did he know Zacchaeus was up the tree? Jesus could sense in the spirit the level of hunger Zacchaeus had within him to see Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus stood still. And Jesus looked up. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down." And the Bible says Zacchaeus came down. The Passion Translation said he locked hands with Jesus. He had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. That is what God wants to do with you and I. I don't want to play church. I don't want to come sit in church every Sunday, dust my Bible and go home. There is more. There is more, I am telling you, there is more. The minute you begin to get hungry for God, I am telling you, you will see a realm and a depth in God you have never experienced before. All God is looking for is hungry people. God is looking for men who will hunger and thirst after Him. Many of us are not hungry because we are so full of ourselves, or we are full of the junk of this world. When you set a table before a man who is hungry, I am telling you, the man will be a pleasure to watch as he begins to eat from table to table. But if you set no amount of delicacy you set before a man who is full, he's just going to pick on the food. Just going to pick it and spit it out. God is looking for hungry people. I don't care what level you are in your walk with God. Zacchaeus was a sinner, but he was hungry. And Jesus stopped for him. How much more you and I who are saved? God wants us to be hungry. Most times it's familiarity with God that makes us not to be hungry for Him. Many of us are so familiar with a God we do not even know about. We don't know Him intimately. We don't have an experiential, intimate encounter with God. Today is that day many will live here with a fresh hunger. There was a time I wasn't hungry for God. I came to church, spoke the church language, talked the talk, but the walk was not matching the talk. And I began to cry to God. The children were very young then. I just began to cry out to God. God, I don't think I love you. I know what it is to fall in love with a man. You think about him when you wake up. You think about him all day. You think about him before you go to bed. When you see your friends, you forget you have told them about the man you are in love with. You repeat the same story. That's what love is all about. If we truly love the Lord, He will be the first one we think about when we wake up. And when we track Him when we wake up, all day long we will still pursue after Him. And He will be the last one we think about when we go to bed. God is a passionate lover. I am telling you, God is a passionate lover. God is so much in love with us. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's how much God loves us. And what the Bible says, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is that you will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything within you, everything you have. That's what God wants us to use to love Him back. God is a lover, and God is looking for lovers. Zacchaeus, when Jesus met him and said, come down, Zacchaeus came down. Do you know what happens when you begin to fall in love with God and you begin to be hungry for God? People around you begin to talk. Why is she taking this Jesus so serious? Why is he taking this Jesus so serious? They began to speak against Zacchaeus. If Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was, Jesus would not be dining with him. Jesus knew him. What matters to Jesus is hunger. How desperate are you to see him? Proverbs 8:17 tells us, I love those who love me, and those who desperately search for me will find me. If we search for God, I'm telling you, it's a God that wants to be sought, and it's a God that can be found. He has not called us to seek him in vain. When we seek him with all our heart, God will be found. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29:13. I love to read it. Then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. God can be found. I am telling you, I found God when I began to seek Him. When I began to spend time hungry for God, I said, God, I want to love you. Teach me how to love you. The Lord had told me. He said, make room for me and meet with me daily. I said, God, the children are young. At 4 a.m. in the morning is the right time I can meet with you that time. Because when I meet with you, then I can go do my morning chores, take the children to school and My day is over with all the morning errands. And I began to wait for the Lord at 4 a.m. every morning. Somebody said, I'm not a morning person. Same here. But if you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. The book of James tells us, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to God, to you. When I set that time to meet with God, I am telling you, it changed my life. If I thought I was saved, now there was a radical encounter with this living God. God becomes so real to you that it's more real than the person sitting next to you. The only place God can unveil himself to you is not a place like this. In places like this, we know about him. And that should trigger passion in our hearts to go behind closed doors to seek him. Jesus has given us the roadmap into the presence of God in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. When you pray, go into your secret place and shut the door. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. God is calling us from the crowd. God is wooing us from the crowd. It's time to come up higher because there are things God wants to unveil to you. There are callings people have on their lives. They can't fulfill the calling because they will not take time to come higher to spend time with the caller. You see many people walking frustrated with the call of God heavy on their lives and they can't answer the call. Because the blueprint to answering that call is in the secret place. God is calling us behind closed doors. I began to know the Lord Jesus as I spent time with him. You can't know somebody unless you spend time with them. You can never know anybody. If I marry Prince and never spend time with him, he will be a stranger to me and I'll be a stranger to him. Just imagine the first time we got married and it was time for the honeymoon, for example. And Prince, when we were traveling to a destination, Prince will be talking to me, I'll be thinking of something else. Is that no way? Relationship with God is a marriage covenant. Many of us treat God like a boyfriend. He is our bridegroom king. God is our bridegroom king. And he's calling us higher. Just like Zacchaeus left the crowd, he came higher to see the Lord. I read the story of a man who went to visit his sister. He does not live in the same town as his sister, but he told his sister, I'm coming to your house. His sister said, the key will be under the footmat, and I've made your favorite dish. So when you get into the house, help yourself till I come back from work. And when this man got into the house, after traveling for many hours, he smelled something nice in the kitchen. And he just went to the top of the stove, and served himself and ate for his food because he was so hungry. The food tasted so good. When the sister came back, she saw the table set for the brother was not touched. And she said, bro, what have you done? Have you eaten? He said, oh, that meal on the stove was delicious. I saw it. He said, no, that was for the dog. That's how hungry a man can be and eat anything. Anything will taste lovely when a man is truly hungry. And that's the kind of hunger, the depth of hunger God is calling us into. God is calling us into this depth and realm where we can see him. But we must be emptied of all the junk of this world and all the junk of pride and self for us to begin to hunger for this God. The people who began to grumble against Zacchaeus, they were jealous because with all the crowd, just imagine the people standing shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. Jesus did not tell any of them, today I'm coming to your home. Jesus turned to a man who was hungry and said, today I will be a... Jesus invited himself. He was not invited by Zacchaeus. He invited himself into Zacchaeus' home. And that's what Jesus wants to do with you and I. This relationship with God is so real. I am telling you, in these last days, the men, the women, the boys, the girls God is going to use are those who know him intimately. are those who are hungry and desperate for change, desperate to know him. The woman with the alabaster jar in Matthew 26:6-13, when she came to Jesus and broke the jar upon him before his burial, the disciples began to grumble. When you are radical for God, be ready. This is one of the signs you know you are radical for God. People begin to badmouth you. The disciples of Jesus were the ones who began to speak against this woman. What a waste. This oil would have been sold and the money used for the poor. Jesus said, no, you have the poor with you always. What this woman has done will be a memorial unto her. Wherever the gospel is preached, it will be remembered of what she did. And history is repeating itself today. We are remembering this woman, Mary Magdalene. The Lord wants to do something in the hearts of people here this morning. God does not bring a word and just let you go home. God wants to do something in hearts this morning. Our heart is like a fireplace, if I may say that, with the woods and everything. Many times, the greatest extinguisher of the fire, passionate flame in our heart is social media. Social media is like a fire extinguisher. It comes to rob us of quality time we should have given to God. I'm telling you, the tsunami of social media, you need deliverance to get out of it. You need special grace to be able to be on top of it and don't let it use you. Because it can distract you very quickly. So our heart is like that fireplace. Many hearts are burning passionately after Jesus, but many as cold can be, but there is hope. Jesus is a fire reigniter. Jesus is going to reignite the passionate flames in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, that is his role on planet Earth. The Holy Spirit is going to set our hearts on fire again, so we can be hungry for God. The refining fire of God needs to come upon our hearts again. No matter where you are in your walk with God, if you are a baby Christian, if you are a middle class Christian, or if you are a seasoned Christian, you can be hungry for God again. Every time I check on my thermometer of my hunger for God, many times it drops. All you have to do is repent. God, I'm sorry, my fire for you is going down. Reignite me again. The Bible tells us in Psalm 80:18, revive us, O Lord, and we will call upon your name. There's a revival that is coming on us personally. And this revival is going to stir up a deep hunger for the presence of God, for the word of God. When was the last time you picked up your Bible to read? Not just to tick the box that you finished a one-year Bible plan, but to pick the Bible to read, to have intimacy with the Word. Do you know the Word of God is a person? His name is Jesus Christ. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. The Word is a person. When was the last time you picked it? As you began to read, you quake under passionate fire. Quake under the love of God. And began to cry. We stand about your word is like honey to my mouth. Is that true? Is that a true experience for every one of us? Or is it we just sing about it and not have an experience with the word? Do you know you can have an experience with the word of God that will change your life forever? So the next time you pick the Bible to read, don't just read it like you are ticking a box. Read it as a love letter from the Father to you. And it will be a paradigm shift. God wants to do something, my brothers and my sisters. God wants to refine the flames of passionate hunger in our hearts. Do you want to be hungry for God? If your hunger is this level, 20%, 90%, it can run over. I want my cup to run over. I want to be desperately hungry for God. Because when God finds a man or a woman who is hungry, he does not just change you alone. He changes generations, neighborhoods, families. Zacchaeus' hunger for the Lord brought salvation to his household in one day. What a difference the Lord can make in 24 hours in your life and in my life when we are hungry for him. The changes it will bring in your neighborhood, your families, your generation. Generations yet unborn will benefit if we rise up today to say, I'm going to be hungry for God. In rounding up, I want to tell this story about a man, I won't mention his name now. In America, this Professor Hall, O-R-R, took so many of his theology students to England to visit revival sites. So when they got to England, he took them round, visiting different sites where revivals have happened. And the last point of call was Hepworth, the Methodist Museum. And that was the home of John Wesley. When these young students got into John Wesley's home, the professor began to take them through the rooms in his home, the kitchen, the living room, every part of the room, of the home. And he said, I'm going to take you now to his bedroom. When this professor took these students to the bedroom of John Wesley, he pointed to a mark on the floor, on the carpet. It was like two, when you have knelt down on a carpet for too long, and you dented the carpet. So it was like a patch of John Wesley's knees. And he said, this was where John Wesley cried day and night for the revival of Great Britain and America. And God answered him. The revival broke out in the United Kingdom and in America. As he was sharing this story with the students, they were amazed. So it was time to go. So he told all the students, let's go, it's time to go. They all got downstairs, got into the bus. The professor did the head count and noticed one student was missing. He went back into the house. He looked down in the kitchen, the student was nowhere to be found. The living room, nowhere. He began to hear groaning and moaning coming from the upstairs bedroom. And the closer he got to the bedroom, the louder and the intensity of the groaning. And what the professor heard was, Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. And if you will do it with me. And the professor walked up where this young student was kneeling on the same path where John Wesley would kneel. And this student was crying. Oh God, he was hungry. God, do it again. What you did in the generation of John Wesley, do it in my generation. And if you will do it, Lord, do it with me. And the professor tapped the student on the shoulder, said, it's time to go, boy. And he went downstairs, and Billy Graham got into that bus. That was Billy Graham. And did God do it again in Billy Graham's generation? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. God is looking for a hungry man. God is looking for a hungry woman. It does not matter if you only came to the Lord yesterday. Get hungry for God. Let your hunger for God be intensified. It does not matter if you don't know Jesus. Today is that day. If you accept him into your heart, I'm telling you, it changes everything. It goes beyond you. It goes to your generation. Look at Billy Graham, the young man. Billy Graham, there is no evangelist like Billy Graham. He shook planet Earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did. God is looking for a man or a woman who will cry out, Lord, do it again. And if you will do it with me. Let us pray. As priests come to lead us in communion. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today, O God. We thank you because you will do what you have done in generations past again. But before you do it, Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing of hunger upon our lives. Hunger for you, O God. We want to be hungry for you, Lord. We want to be desperately hungry for you, Lord. We want to be hungry for your word. We want your word to taste like honey in our mouths, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we want an experiential encounter. Lord, do it again in us, oh God. Do it again in us, oh God. You met Zacchaeus, oh God, on top of a tree. You called him down and you went to his house to dine with him. God, we want you to manifest yourself for us. God, encounter us, oh God, at the point where you see us today, oh God. And stir up this hunger within us, oh God. If it is familiarity with you that has brought this satisfaction that makes us not hunger for you, Lord, we say, have mercy on us. As the people, Lord, we say, have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy on us, oh God. If we are filled with junk of the world, we ask for a spiritual detox today as the communion is said. In the name of Jesus, amen.